Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll conclude a two-part conversation on the unexpectedly complex topic of purpose. Andy, we started this conversation on last month's podcast, and for those of you who missed it, you definitely need to go back and listen to the whole thing. But to set the stage for today's conversation, let's review a little. You said one of the reasons that leaders are resistant to purpose is that purpose has a catch.
Yeah, it has a catch. And the first catch, I think, starts off when we're early in our careers because, who has time for purpose? I got to pay the bills. Yeah. My friend Charlie Renfro says you got to eat and live indoors. And right. So that's where our careers begin. How do I eat and live indoors and help make sure my kids go to school and all those kinds of things? And then we hear stories of people who do big things, meaningful things, purpose-filled things, and it's intriguing. It stirs something in us. We think maybe one day, someday. But I think eventually for all of us, we begin asking those broad questions of, is there more to life than this? What's it all about? Is it really just about the bottom line? How can I leverage what I'm doing, for something that has greater meaning and greater purpose? So purpose is inspiring. Purpose is intriguing. We would all like to think that one day we look back on a life filled with purpose. But there is a catch. And the catch is this. That purpose is about becoming a means to an end. Again, every item in your home has a purpose, and the purpose of that item is not that item. Mm. The plunger has a purpose, right? The shovel has a purpose. Wrench has a purpose. Plier, everything in your home has a purpose. Every item has a purpose. And purpose is all about being a means to an end. The problem is we come into this world wanting to be the end. Mm. Not a means to an end. I want things to be a means to my end. So as inspiring as the idea is, when it comes right up to making a decision about embracing a life of purpose or organizing an existing organization so it's more purposeful, leaders begin to step back and say, wait a minute, maybe I should leave that to the nonprofit world because that's going to cost too much. There's too much of a sacrifice. And then the other thing we said last month that I think is so important is around this word meaning. Everybody wants to have meaning in life. But to find meaning, you come back to the same issue, the same tension. Meaning is all about being a means. That's what meaning is. Meaning is about being a means to an end that's more or greater than yourself. So again, it's like, it's like a light to a bug. We are all attracted to it, but then the closer we get, we realize what it's gonna cost.
Wow.
And then we left off at the end of last month with an illustration of a guy that we both know who took that plunge and, says to folks all the time, once you've tasted purpose, once you've been willing to make the sacrifice, step over that line, pay the price, it's just worth it. Because once you've experienced purpose, there's the idea of going back to simply living a life that's all about me. There's just something shallow and empty. And again, many of our podcast listeners understand this because of the incredible things they're doing in their communities and all around the world. But we wanted to talk about purpose because it does have a twist. It has a catch. It's not as easy as I think sometimes people make it sound.
Andy, last month you also said we're often tempted to ask, what is my purpose? But you actually said there's a better question.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a terrible question, but what is my purpose, the underlying idea is I want to know my purpose so I will have a purpose.
Right.
Why am I here? I want to know why I'm here so I will know why I'm here so I won't live my whole life not knowing why I am here. Again, it kind of brings me back to me. So maybe the starting point for this discussion, the discovery of purpose, is really who am I here for or who are we here for? Mm. As I look at my company, so we have a successful company or a successful venture or, a successful franchise, whatever it might be. Okay, so, we got this going on. Who are we here for? Mm. What is this really about that's beyond me? And again, you begin asking those questions, the answers come rolling in, and there you stand on the precipice of, am I willing to pay the price to live a meaningful life? Am I willing to pay the price to, position this company to be more about purpose than just about this company. As I said last month, those who devote themselves to themselves will ultimately have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. But if you devote yourself to more than yourself, you will ultimately have more than yourself to show for yourself. We learn this from funerals. What's a great funeral? A great funeral is when there is a life worth celebrating. And what kind of life is worth celebrating? A life that was given away. In fact, the value of a life, of the value of anyone's life, is always measured in terms of how much of it was given away. But you don't give away your life until you're willing to become a means to an end. So that's sort of the background for this whole conversation. And that's why, again, while purpose is inspiring, there is a price to pay.
Well, Andy, that sets us up perfectly for today's discussion. And I want to talk about three ideas I've heard you teach our staff. I want to talk about three ideas I've heard you teach again and again, three things that help us to become a means to an end. The first one is begin looking at everything you are currently doing through the lens of means.
Yeah, begin looking at everything that we're currently doing. Again, when we think about purpose or become living a meaningful life, we think it's something else, it's something out there. So part of this is just learning to think different. So since purpose, think about it, if since purpose is a means to an end, anytime you make an end a means, you've embraced purpose. For example, that seems like a little bit of circular logic there. But think about it this way. Somebody says, I have a dead-end job. I'm stuck in this dead-end job. No. See, you've made your job an end. Your job is not an end. Your job is a means to an end. You're eating and you're living indoors, you know, to quote Charlie. So your job is a means. It has a purpose. Every job that results in a paycheck is a purposeful job. Again, the average person looks at their average job and says, no, I have an average. No, your job, there is purpose. It's there. You just haven't discovered it because you're not thinking correctly. And as small a tweak and as small a shift in thinking as this is incredibly important because it's beginning to look at things that we generally consider as an end, as a means. Somebody says, well, I'm just paying the bills. Well, what happens when you don't? You know, paying the bills is a means to an end. Again, you don't just teach school. You don't just manage budgets. You don't just do accounting. You don't just sell real estate or cars or whatever it is that you sell. And parents, come on, you're not just raising kids. All of those statements are like, that's an end. Everything I do, it's an end, it's an end, it's an end. And that's not true. It's a means to an end. In fact, to parents, I say this all the time, your greatest contribution to the world, I mean, the most purposeful thing you do, the most meaningful thing you do, your greatest contribution to the world may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Mm. That raising kids is a means to an end. It is not the end. So again, it's a small tweak in our thinking. So everybody listening, as you think about maybe some of the most mundane things you do that you just think there's no purpose in this, well, there probably is. You've just got to learn to think differently.
The second way you've talked about discovering purpose was to pay attention to what stirs your heart.
Yeah. On a previous podcast, we asked the question, what breaks your heart? And this is a similar idea. What stirs your heart? What breaks your heart? What do you find yourself thinking about when you can think about whatever you want to think about? What sort of leads you down the path of something that might take you beyond you or, you know, set you up to be a means to an end? Or the other question, and Sandra, my wife, ask this, you know, she said, when I think about what I would like people to line up at the end of my life and thank me for, and then she told me what that was. Mm. And I thought, what an incredible perspective to ask the question at the end of my life, when they're celebrating my life, or when I'm, you know, I'm in my final days and I'm, you know, rocking on the rocking chair, what would I like people to line up to thank me for? That is a really, really, really big idea. Because somewhere in there is meaning. Somewhere in there is purpose. And perhaps that's enough of a visual to lead someone to take those steps that, you know, there's always a price to pay, but a price that's worth paying because at the end of my life, here's what I'd like people to thank me for. So along these same lines, in my experience and in, you know, talking to other people and in hearing some extraordinarily inspiring stories like we've all heard, I think that purpose is often found at the intersection of a broken heart or stirred heart and opportunity and skill, those three things. Mm. That, you know, my heart is stirred, my heart's broken over something in culture and society, in my neighborhood, in my organization. And then an opportunity comes along, and lo and behold, I have a skill set that allows me to step into that opportunity. So a broken heart, opportunity, and skill, at the intersection of those three things, oftentimes a person finds that thing they're willing to give their lives to that goes beyond them. But that really begins, that process begins with paying attention to what stirs our heart, and then looking for and being open to that next opportunity.
And Andy, the final key that I've heard you talk about is that we should surround ourselves with on-purpose people.
And this is absolutely huge. In fact, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you listen to other podcasts, which means you're a learner, which means you already get this, whether you understand the science behind it or not. And speaking of science, my assistant Diane Grant just sent me an article recently that, again, just bolsters this idea. There's a neuroscientist at Northwestern University named Morin Cerf. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's been studying decision-making for over a decade. And his research – this is so fascinating – his research has found that when two people are in each other's company, their brain waves will begin looking nearly identical. Just being in the room together and interacting, something happens in the brain. And here's a quote from the article. He says, the more we study engagement, we see time and time again that just being next to certain people actually aligns your brain with them. Now, think about that. Of course, every parent listening with teenagers and middle schoolers and high schoolers are going, I knew it. I've seen this happen. I didn't know there was science to back it up. But he says there's something that happens in our brains based on the people we're around. So then he goes on to say this, the people you hang out with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality beyond what you can explain. And one of the effects is you become alike. Hmm. So this whole idea that we become like the people we associate with, not only does that happen in our behavior because that's where we observe it. You know, you started hanging out with him and now you're doing this, now you're doing that. Since you started hanging out with that group of girls, you know, we see it all the time. And so he says, well, there's science to back this up. This is not just behavioral. Something actually happens in our brain. So his conclusion is that and this is so powerful – that if people want to maximize – he talks about happiness. If you want to maximize happiness and minimize stress, that you should build a life that requires fewer decisions by surrounding ourselves with people who embody the traits we prefer, by surrounding ourselves with people who embody the traits that we prefer. Because over time, we naturally pick these up whether they are desirable or not. So surrounding ourselves with on-purpose people is actually a strategy. Mm. If we really are about getting to the place where we are willing to take the step, make the sacrifice to do something meaningful with our lives, surrounding ourselves with people who think that way and live that way will encourage us. And he would argue that even neurologically would help move us down that path. Another example of this that I'm super familiar with, there's an organization called Generous Giving. Generous Giving does weekend events where very resourced people, wealthy people, bring their wealthy friends to an event where they hear stories of generosity. Mm. And so these are all, you know, resourced people. They watch. They hear testimonies. People get up and talk about managing money. It's all about managing money, but the focus is generosity. And so they hear stories of extraordinary generosity while being surrounded with generous people who are resource people like themselves. And I've heard story after story after story of men and women and couples who come out and say, you know what? I thought I was generous. I thought I was a generous person. But what happened was they got around people who were more generous, and suddenly they began to think in terms of generosity. And some of these folks have made extraordinary changes both in lifestyle and their level of giving. Why? Because they were around people they had something in common with, but who were thinking a little bit differently. And next thing you know, their generosity increases. So we've seen this with our kids. Everybody listening today has a story about how a group of people influenced them either positively or negatively. So to get to the place where we are willing to make the sacrifice to embrace purpose or meaning, a big part of this is surrounding ourselves with like-minded people, men and women, who in their particular context are living out this whole idea of purpose. It's a big, big deal.
So Andy, what you're saying then is that living on purpose can be contagious.
Absolutely. When you're around people who are not afraid to give themselves to something other than themselves, it is contagious. And you know what's most contagious about that group is their joy. You remember last month we talked about our friend Tom Rhodes, the architect. When he talks about special needs kids, when he talks about these arduous trips to East Asia, and we think, wow, that must have been so hard, he lights up. There's joy. There is joy in selflessness. And as we both know, both selflessness and self-centeredness, those are both contagious. So we get to choose who we surround ourselves with. And if living a life of purpose, if leading an organization that has embraced purpose is important, then who we spend time with is extremely important. Lane, as you know, I've spent a lot of years teaching teenagers. And when I would talk about this issue of friendship and peer influence, my bottom line was always, your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. Mm. Your friends determine the direction and quality of your life. And whereas in the past, we've known that's true observationally, now we have science to back it up.
Well, Andy, as we wrap this up, I want to go over these three big ideas you gave us today. Begin looking at everything you're currently doing through the lens of means. Pay attention to what stirs your heart. And finally, surround yourself with on-purpose people. Any final thoughts?
Well, I guess it's more of a final question than a final thought. My friend Cheryl Batchelder, in her book Dare to Serve, which is a fantastic leadership book, she said this. She said, the point of purpose is to determine how you will serve others. Bottom line, the point of purpose, which is what we've said all along, is to determine how you will serve others. Then she says this, and this is pretty strong. If you don't have a plan to serve, you don't need a purpose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think I would just leave our listeners with this question. Are you willing to serve others? Are you willing to be a means to an end instead of the end? And if so, you are on your way to embracing a life of meaning and purpose. And if not, you're going to miss out. And someday, people will gather to celebrate your life. And they will either have a deep well to dig from, or they will have to make things up. And Lane, you and I have been at both kinds of funeral services where you felt like you just sort of had to make things up. And then we have celebrated lives where we could have stayed all day because they gave their lives away.
Landy, thanks so much for today. And to all our listeners, we want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check out the andystanley.com website where you can find the leadership application guide to go with today's podcast.